Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon and welcome to the Dino Herbert Show, Everyday Hero. And I'm your host, Dino Herbert, and I'm sitting here in Columbus, Ohio, the capital city of Ohio. And today is July 2nd, 2009. And welcome to the Independence Day edition of the Dino Herbert Show. We have reached the apex of the summer. And after this weekend, I guess we will be on the downward slide toward cold weather, at least in Ohio. Some of you guys might be near the equator, or you might be out in California, so you don't have to worry about that slide toward winter. But I want to welcome you to the show, and thank you so much for being here with me. For those of you who don't know, this may be your first time listening in, my show, the Dino Herbert Show, the Everyday Hero Show, is about entrepreneurs. And I believe that entrepreneurs are heroes because historically, the people that have been in the trenches, the people who have waged war and battle in those trenches typically are unseen and unheralded. And so entrepreneurs, in my opinion, are those that are waging a war against economic forces. Entrepreneurs are waging war against fear. They're waging war against uncertainty. They're waging war against mediocrity, because so many people are afraid of economic times such as we have right now. So many people are afraid of uncertainty that comes with being entrepreneur. A lot of people have settled in, and they have relied and just accepted the fact that they're going to be like everybody else. They're going to be mediocre. And so entrepreneurs are everyday heroes because they're battling those forces. Now, this is my first official show on Blog Talk Radio, and I am very excited to come over. And what I do is I typically have done a podcast, and the reason I decided to go to Blog Talk Radio because I wanted to have a more close relationship with the people that have been listening, and I've had people listening from all over the country. Here in the States, of course, all across the country. I've also had listeners from South America. I've had listeners from Europe. I've had listeners from Africa and Asia. I've also have a few people listening in from Australia. So it's a wonderful thing to be able to interact with those folk by way of email, but I wanted to be able to have a more close connection with folk as they get on the line and we can talk live and speak more directly. And so I'm here doing my show on Blog Talk Radio. And as I mentioned, I talk to entrepreneurs. And I talk to entrepreneurs from all walks of life, from every age, from 13 to 75. I've talked to young people who are starting their business in college, right out of high school. And I've also talked to older people who are officially retired, who are still getting things done financially, economically. I've talked to people who are handicapped. I had an interview with a young lady who is blind out in California, and she has a business, and she's taking care of her business. I talk to people who are college educated with several degrees, those who have high school diplomas and barely made it out. All these people are successful. All these people are passionate about what they do. All these people can be considered heroes. And this is happening all over the globe, not just in the States. It's happening all over the globe. And so I'm here, Dino Herbert, the everyday hero. I'm not the everyday hero. The entrepreneurs are everyday heroes. Now, today, like I said, is the Independence Day edition, 4th of July edition of the Dino Herbert Show. Now, today is July 2nd. It's not the 4th. And so when I told some people about this show, they were asking me about why on this date. And we'll get into that in a little bit. But as I was thinking about this show and what we're going to be talking about and how we're going to be talking about it, I said to myself, this is another line in the sand for me with regard to the way I've chosen to live my life. This is another one of those points of no return. And the reason I say that is because I may never be able to get another corporate job after this episode. And the reason I say that is because what happens if a future employer listens in to this show, which will be recorded and is being recorded and will be saved as a podcast, so it'll be around for my posterity. And so my kids and my grandkids will have the opportunity to hear this particular episode. And so future would-be employers will also have the opportunity to do that. And so after listening to this, they may say, this guy is not a good guy for us to bring on board because he's got this attitude about corporate America and working for someone else. So I hope that you appreciate what I am doing for you, putting my neck out on the line in terms of talking about Declaration of Independence from corporate tyranny and declaring this Independence Day for the American worker or any 9-to-5 worker, if you will. But that's what this show is all about. This show is about making a declaration. This show is about taking a stand and doing what you really want to do. That's what this show is all about. And so someone asked the question, and we'll get to that sooner or later, about July 2nd. Someone asked the question, why July 2nd? But first of all, let's talk about the title. We're talking about the Declaration of Independence from Corporate Tyranny, and we're talking about Independence Day for the 9-to-5 worker. And those are two different things. Those are two different events. I know here in the States, we think of them together. You know, on Independence Day, that's when we discuss the Declaration of Independence, and the two are kind of merged. When we are preparing our barbecues and our picnics and we're deciding where we're going to go out for fireworks, we're thinking about Independence Day and we're thinking about the Declaration of Independence because they're intertwined. But they are two different things, two definitely different things. The Declaration of Independence was signed in 1776, but actual independence for the United States did not occur until 1783 because there was a war that needed to be waged. There was a battle that needed to be won. So what I want to clarify is that the Declaration comes before the actual independence. And so let's talk a little bit about the history of it. I realize that you guys know the history of it, but just because it's the holiday, let's talk a little bit about it. As you know, America was initially a British colony. And so the children of England, as it were, came over to a not-so-known land and settled down here. And everything was okay for a while. Mother England didn't bother the children. And the children, you know, they accepted the money and the support of Mother England, but there were no strife, no problems initially. But after a few wars that were waged and England had some financial problems, they started thinking, well, we've got our folk over there across the pond and they have been there. We really haven't bothered them And we've been taxing all of our other folk here back home, 3,000 miles away. Why don't we start to tax the other folk? And this obviously did not go over very well with those who are in the colonies. And so there begin to be some strife amongst the folk. And so Mother England began to tell the kids how far they could go. You can't go too far west. We don't want you expanding too far. They actually started using their powers to break into homes and break into people's business establishments. They started taxing them, like I mentioned, and skirmishes begin to break out. And so, you know, here we have big, huge England and the little colonies over in America, and they begin to have some debates. Now, the question comes up, why in the world would the colonies resist Britain? They had an established government. They had much more money financially than the colony did. The colonies did. In fact, you know, Britain was supporting them. They had a huge army with red coats. And so those are three things. Why in the world would the colonies resist Britain? Well, the colonies had several things. But one of the main things they had a dream, they had determination, and they had a declaration that was in their heart. They said, we hold these truths to be self-evident. And so that's when it became on, because the colonies were resisting what Mother England came to do. And so, like I said, today is July 2nd, and someone asked me, why not the 4th? Well, first of all, the 4th is on the weekend, and everybody will be enjoying themselves. They'll be out picnicking and partying. And someone else said, well, why not the 3rd? Well, first of all, the 2nd, the 3rd, the 4th, the 4th is not the only date they could have used. They could have used other dates. They could have used June 2nd when Richard Henry Lee made his first initial resolution saying that we need to be free. I want to make a resolution that we are independent states and we should be free. They could have used July 2nd. That's when the vote was actually taken by Congress. On July 2nd. It wasn't until 4th when Jefferson actually drafted the document and created the document that he did. But it wasn't even signed by all 56 men until August 2nd. So we could be celebrating on August 2nd. So the 4th of July isn't necessarily the date that could have been used. We could have used September 5th because that's when we had our first Continental Congress back in 1774. So that's a pretty crucial date also, because if there were no Continental Congress, then there certainly would not have been a Declaration of Independence. And so most of the people, you know, have tomorrow off, the 3rd, and, you know, the 4th is a weekend. So that's why I decided to do it today on the 2nd, because this is the actual day that Congress voted on the Declaration of Independence. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are the life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Now, life. If you're working for somebody, what kind of life do you have? You've heard the phrase, get a life. How can you get a life if every waking minute, nearly, your life is pretty much consumed by work? You get up in the morning, you eat a little something, you do a little something for yourself, but the rest of that morning is set in preparing to go to work. Then you take your trek to work. It might be 10 minutes, it might be an hour and a half, depending on where you work. Then you work for your 8 hours if you're doing a normal shift, so to speak. You get an hour for lunch. Maybe you only get 30 minutes for lunch. Then you take that same trek back home. Then you unwind, you kick the cat, whatever the situation is, and then you start getting ready for work. Depending on the type of job you have, you know, your at-home time might be spent doing quite a bit preparing for work. Then you might watch some television or do something for yourself, but then it's getting ready for work, and you do it all again. Some people get 8 hours of sleep. Some people only get 4 because work is such a consuming thing. Well, what about liberty? Now, I don't know about you, but some of the jobs I've had, when I worked for them, they kind of decided what I was doing. Technology has helped, certainly, in that regard, but most of the time, you know, your employer tells you whether or not you can go pick up your sick child. You certainly have to ask permission, usually. And I know there are some folk who are working remotely, and you'll be the exception to the rule for the most part. But you still got to check in sometimes. You have to ask permission to, you know, there's a lunchtime, right? And you have breaks that you go on. All right. Mostly, we're sitting in a corporate environment at our assigned desk in our corporate situation. What about the pursuit of happiness? All this running around that you're doing, all this running around that you're doing on a day-to-day basis is spent in the pursuit of your employer's happiness. I don't know if you have ever seen an invoice for your time. But what you get paid and what that invoice is a different amount. And as it should be, because your employer is making a profit. And so you're running around is putting money in your employer's pocket. And so let's talk a little bit about how this Declaration of Independence compares to what happens with regard to you making a declaration of independence from where you are today. They said, when a government has a long train of abuses and it's trying to reduce the people even further, it is the people's right, it is even their duty to throw off such government and to provide new things for their future security. And they said, such has been the patient sufferance of these colonies. And to alter, such is now the necessity which constrains them to alter their former systems of government. The history of the present king is a history of repeated injuries, all having the direct objective of establishing an absolute tyranny over the state. Now, I hear what you're saying. You're saying, tyranny, Dino. Come on, Dino. Tyranny. You're being a little bit strong about that. My corporation is not a tyrant. My company is not a tyrant. Well, I don't think they necessarily do it on purpose. I've worked for public companies. I've worked for private companies. And now I'm an entrepreneur. I'm doing my own thing. And I think after a while, companies begin to take on a life of their own, regardless of how nice the people are, and especially if it's a public company. It may not be intentional, but after a company gets to be a certain size, it becomes all about the machine of doing what it is. And so the individual gets caught up in that. And so I hear what you're saying, Dino, you're recommending I become an entrepreneur. You're recommending I start a business. How can you recommend that if all businesses eventually become tyrants? Well, yeah, I'm going to encourage you, when you become a business owner, or if you're already a business owner, I'm just going to say, don't become a tyrant. Don't mistreat your folk. But just recognize that it becomes more and more difficult as the business gets larger. It becomes more and more difficult as the business gets larger. All right? And so, it happened with the U.S. Once we became a country and we were fighting against the tyranny of England, I think it can be said that the U.S. has, on occasion, perhaps mistreated its citizens. Now, you know, I'm not even going to go down that road because this is not a political show. This show is not about politics. But, you know, it tends to happen as the company gets larger. There's a tendency to become tyrannical. All right, I'll let that sink in a little bit. But this is not a political show. This is about entrepreneurs and entrepreneurship. But every now and then, real world slips in. You know, real world stuff. Okay? Now, I did say real world stuff, didn't I? Not to imply that entrepreneurs are not in the real world. Okay? I'm not saying that. However, if you think about it, when those colonies were fighting against England, I'm sure there were people who said, we should just face reality. We're fighting against a big, huge foe. We should face reality. And entrepreneurs don't do that. In order to be a successful entrepreneur, in order to have the mindset to be an entrepreneur, you have to suspend your thinking about reality. Because if you don't, you would never do what you need to do to become the entrepreneur that you are able to become. And so you have to, ignore reality a little bit. Because if you just focus on reality, you would never do anything. You would never make that declaration of independence. You would never take that step that you need to take in order to become an entrepreneur. So let's talk a little bit about some of the grievances that they had. Let's talk a little bit about it. They said England refused to give his assent laws, the most wholesome and necessary for the public good. He forbade his governors to pass laws that were immediately and pressingly important until he gave his consent. He refused to pass other laws for the accommodation of large districts of people unless those people would relinquish the right of representation in the legislature. I don't know if that sounds like any company you work for or not. I don't know if that sounds like the company you work for now. But I tell you one thing. I used to work for a company, and I'm not going to use any names because, like I said, I don't know if I'll be able to be employed after this situation. Well, and I don't think I'm employable anyway now. That's a whole nother show. I worked for a company where we were concerned, the company, I should say, was concerned about saving money, which is a worthy goal, a worthy ideal. But we as individual employees were not allowed to make copies. I could not get up from my desk and go make a copy because that was the company policy. We had a print room, and so the person would have to come by and make a copy for me. And it was at a scheduled time. So if I needed a copy now, if I was, doing something that needed a copy, I had to buzz the guy and have him come get it. And if it was on his schedule, he had to come do it. And so I remember we had several office meetings over several months, and this issue always came up. You know, it'd be great. I'd be so much more efficient in my job if I could only make a copy. Can I make a copy, please? And so I think it took 6-9 months maybe when this issue continued to come up, and the folk at this particular company decided, well, yeah, I guess it's okay to allow our people to make copies. They're not going to abuse it. They're not going to make copies of their face. They're not going to make flyers of their weekend parties. We can trust these folks. And so they had laws that were not in the best interest of the people, just like this grievance that the U.S. colonies, I can't call them U.S. colonies, I know, the British colonies had against England. What were some of the other grievances? They said he has erected a multitude of new offices and sent swarms of officers to harass our people. He's called together legislative bodies at places unusual, uncomfortable, and distant for the sole purpose of fatiguing them into compliance with his measure. Have you ever worked for a supervisor that didn't like you, and you knew it, and they let you know, and they were trying to get rid of you? They were harassing you. They made your life difficult, and they went out of their way to try to get you taken care of? Have you ever had that experience? Are you going through that now? Is that one of your grievances? Is that one of your grievances? He has dissolved representative houses repeatedly for opposing with manly firmness of his invasions on the rights of the people. I don't know if you've ever felt like your rights were being invaded at your job or not. What are some of your... Another grievance, he has kept among us in times of peace standing armies without the consent of our legislatures for quartering large bodies of armed troops among us. I don't know if you have ever had this experience. Have you ever worked for a hoverer? As those of you who have had this experience, you know exactly what I'm talking about. This is, you work for somebody who hovers. So you're sitting at your desk. You're being a good employee, doing what you're supposed to be doing, and your supervisor comes and hovers. They stand over your shoulder, asking what you're doing, asking how you're doing it, asking when it will be done. I don't know about you. I don't know about you. But for me, that's a little bothersome. That bothers me a lot. And I don't know if you've had that experience or not. But it's the same thing that the colonies had with England, that they had armies sitting next to them, just bothering them, hovering. And so maybe that's one of your grievances. For imposing taxes on us without our consent. Is your employer taxing you? Taxing, according to dictionary.com. You know, I haven't used a dictionary in quite a while. I've been online. Well, I take that back. I've got Webster's Ninth Collegiate Dictionary on my shelf, and I use that quite often. But anyway, I digress. Taxing means wearingly burdensome. Or in other words, gets on your nerves. Do you have an employer? Do you have a supervisor that gets on your nerves? Is that something that you experience on a daily basis? Is that something that you experience on a monthly basis? Is that one of your grievances? For taking away our charters, abolishing our valuable laws, altering fundamentally the forms of our government, suspending our own legislatures. He has abdicated government here by declaring us out of his protection and waging war against us. He's plundered our seas. He's ravaged our coasts. He's burnt our towns. He's destroyed the lives of our people. Is that how you feel? Do you feel oppressed? Do you have some grievances that you need to air? Well, this is where we were. And here was the declaration. They said, in every stage of these oppressions, we've petitioned for redress. We were being humble about it. We've repeatedly tried to go to the English people, and we've been answered only by repeated injury. And so they say, this king, who's being a tyrant, is unfit to be a ruler of a free people. We've tried our grievances. We tried to appeal to the government. We tried to appeal to the people of England. We therefore solemnly publish and declare that these United Colonies are and of right ought to be free and independent states. So that's where you need to get to be. You've been complaining about that situation. You have been bothered by that supervisor. You've been upset about your work condition. And I hear what you're saying. Dino, I like my job. I have a good employer. I don't doubt that at all. I don't doubt that you have a good employer. But are you free? Are you independent? can you really do what you want to do, even if you are on the remote worker plan? You've got an intranet and you can log in from home. You can log in from the Starbucks or the other coffee shop. You got a laptop. You got a BlackBerry. You're free, right? You're independent, right? Maybe, maybe not. Only you can answer that question. Are you independent? Are you free? So what was the mindset of these revolutionaries? You know, even though they were faced with lots of opposition, and that's one thing that a lot of people say. They say, Dino, how can you go around talking about people should start businesses? People should become an entrepreneur. Don't you know that starting a business is hard? Well, sure. Why not? What's that have to do with it? What's that have to do with you and your declaration? Do you think it was hard for the revolutionaries, for the leaders of the American Revolution? Do you think it was hard? I mean, Congress, they were basically meeting in secret. They were running from place to place from time to time, avoiding the Red Coat Army. You think that was hard? The question is, well, how bad do you want it? Do you think you're worth it? So what was their mindset? They said, well, we won't fail. And we won't take this anymore. Because they had become fed up. It was like, you know what? We've been living over here, 3,000 miles away from Mother England. And we've been doing all right for ourselves. And they've pretty much been ignoring us. And we've gotten to the place that we feel pretty good about ourselves. And so they begin to get a mindset, and it's the same thing with you. When you get to the place where you have documented your grievances, when you've looked long and hard at what's going on in your situation, a lot of times people will get to the place where it's like, man, I really, really would like to do something else. You know, life is too short. Seems like life should have something better for me than this. But I can't do it, can I? Of course you can. I imagine that during the Revolutionary War and previous to it, just prior to the Declaration of Independence, that there were many people in the colonies who said, are you kidding me? This is England that we're talking about. They got armies. They got a bunch of money. They got boats that are sitting in our harbors right now. I mean, Boston at one time could not get food in because English boats are sitting in the harbor. And so I imagine there were people, well, let's just stop. Let's make up with Mother England so that we can get some food in. This is crazy, you guys. What are you talking about, revolution? What are you talking about, independence? We can't make it without that support. But there were certain people among them, and I'm glad they were there, who had the mindset that, you know what, we're not going to take it anymore. We can do this. We can do this, and you can do this too. Yes, it will be hard. Sure, it'll be hard. But when you have a dream, when you have determination, when you have a declaration, you'll make it through. Are there guarantees? No guarantees. There were no guarantees that those 56 men who put their names on that line, because most of them weren't necessarily known. There were some of them who were known. You know, Samuel Adams, John Hancock, Jefferson. There were some who had already been raising a ruckus. And so England knew who they were and were after them. But I imagine that some of those men who put their name on that list, they were not recognized as rebels. They were not recognized as revolutionaries. But they put their name down on that list, declaring that I am a rebel. They put it down. And so that's what I want you to do. I want you to make a declaration. Now, it may not be that radical, and you have to realize that, you know, July 2nd, July 4th, August 2nd, whichever date you want to pick during 1776 when that document became public, there was a lot of work that happened before then. Like I said, Congress was formed 2 years prior, and there were lots of activity that led up to even the Continental Congress in 1774. So there were some people who made up in their minds that independence is the way to go several years prior to the public declaration. And so that's what I would invite you to do. Do it today. Now, some of you may be at the point where you can make a public declaration because you've been working on this for a while. It's been simmering. You've been doing some research. You've been getting your mindset together. You've been preparing to take that leap. But Dino, I don't know. I don't know what's going on. I don't know how to do this. There are so many resources available to you to get it done. And in fact, in a couple of weeks, I'll be rolling out a teleseminar talking about basically the life cycle of a business and talking about what it takes to take that initial jump and looking at the whole picture. We're gonna run probably a 6-week teleseminar, and I'll be inviting all the people who are on my list. And if you're not on my list, go to my website and sign up for my free ebook, and you'll get on my list and you can hear more about that particular teleseminar. But don't let the fact that you don't know something hold you back. The colonists didn't know how to run a country, but they began to work on it. They drew up some Articles of Confederation, right? They started to act like a separate company or country, excuse me. Cool, but that was actually a good slip. They started to act like a separate country, and you should start to act like a separate company. Do your research. Start to get things in order. Decide what you want to do. Decide what's burning in your heart. See, what kept these folk going was they had a burning desire in their heart for independence. They had gotten to the place where they started to believe it was possible. And yes, they were outmanned. Yes, they were outgunned. Yes, they had less money. There were times that the colony's armies needed shoes. Some of these guys were fighting without shoes, and Congress was having to do special sessions in order to get some shoes to the guys who were out in the field fighting. That's determination. So yes, it's going to be tough sometimes. It will be hard. But if you are doing something that you really, really, really want to do, you're going to make it through. You're not going to give up. I was at a workshop a few weeks ago, and a buddy of mine, Sam Crowley said, I'm not sure where he got the quote, but basically, you are 100% guaranteed to succeed if you don't give up. And you might fail sometimes. The English colonies lost some battles. There were battles that were lost. There were men's lives that were lost. So you're going to fail sometimes. But if you don't give up and you continue to press on, you will indeed succeed. You will indeed succeed. But see, most of us haven't made that declaration yet. Most of us have not made the declaration yet. Most of us have accepted our fate. We've decided that, well, there's nothing I can do. It's stacked against me. The odds are against me. I'm too young. No, you're not. Other people your age have started businesses. I'm too old. You know, Dino, I'm past my prime. Like I mentioned earlier, I've interviewed 75-year-old guys who are rocking and rolling. Colonel Sanders, he was in his 60s when he started hitting the road selling his secret recipe. So you're not too old. Well, Dino, I'm a certain race. I'm black, I'm white, I'm Asian, I'm Indian. Well, that has nothing to do with it. There's been someone who is your race, your height, your sex, male, female, who has started a business and been successful. So there's someone just like you in your particular condition who has been successful. And so what do I do? What do I do? What about this declaration? First of all, like I said, you need to air your grievances. Now, it may not be in public to your employer. You may need to just write them down at your house. Take some time, instead of preparing for work one evening, take some time for yourself and write down all of your grievances. Write down what you don't like about your situation. Write down in all of its gory detail. You've been thinking about it. It's been in your subconscious mind. It's been bothering you, and you don't even realize it. Get it all out. Get it out on paper. Do a brain dump, as they say. Declare what you don't like about your current situation. All 10 pages of it. Get it out. And then take some time thinking about and writing about. And by the way, this is not a static document. This is something you add to on and on because you will see things. You won't think of everything when you first sit down with regard to what you don't want and with regard to what you do want. This is an evolving document. So after you declare all your grievances, and you air those, and you say, this is what I don't want. This is what I don't want. This is what I do not want in my life. I don't like this situation. Then on another 10 sheets of paper, declare what you really do want. Declare what you really do want in all of its glorious detail. Tell about what you want to do in your business. Tell about what color your logo is going to be. Tell about where you're going to vacation. Who are your clients? How much fun you're going to have. How much money you're going to make. Do all the details. Tell all the detail so it lives vividly in you. And you start to live that. Because then you've got something else to focus on. You've been going through life as a robot. You've been going back and forth to work, unhappy, knowing you're unhappy, maybe not even realizing you're unhappy. But then this gives you something else to focus on. Well, what could be? I've actually had people say to me, well, Dino, you are creating discord. You're creating discord. You're putting in the mind of people that they should be unhappy. Well, no, I'm not. I'm actually getting people to look at their situation as it is. And if there's something you really don't like, I don't believe you should have to live with it. The American colony certainly could have accepted their plight. They could have accepted the way things were for them. And this would be a different world that we are in today. We would have gone on being American colonies. Perhaps we would not have expanded from sea to shining sea. Half of it would have been French. Half of it would have been German, whatever. We'd be in a different world today. America would not be the strong and influential nation that it is today if it weren't for those bold individuals. And so you have that option. You have that option to just accept things the way they are and let things play out the way they are until you retire. You have that option. But life, in my opinion, is too short. Something happened to me when I turned 40. You know, statistically, I was about halfway done. And that's been 3 years ago. I like to say 3 years ago I turned 40. And so I decided, well, life is too short to spend it doing something that you are just not totally jazzed about. Life is too short. And believe me, 40 years goes by pretty quickly. I've got a 25th year high school reunion this year, and I cannot believe it's been that long. Seems like it was just yesterday. And so take the time to do that. Take the time to make those declarations. Air your grievances. Make those declarations of what you want to do. And like I mentioned earlier, there is a gap between the declaration and the actual experience of independence. You got to go through a war. It's going to be tough, but it's going to be great because you're going to be inspired and fired and encouraged by the burning desire that is in your heart to make this change. And that's what you're going to do. Because this weekend is Independence Day. So as you are celebrating, as you're eating your picnic food and you're grilling out and you're eating your barbecue and you're going to parades and as you're watching fireworks and you're singing that you're proud to be an American, speaking to the Americans, for the non-Americans who are listening in, you know, as you celebrate whatever day you celebrate, don't just think about what it means for your country as a whole. Don't just get teary-eyed about the fact that you are living here in a free land. Think about what it means to you personally, whether or not you've declared your independence, whether or not you are celebrating your Independence Day. It'll bring a whole new meaning to the celebrations that you're going through. A whole new meaning. Tell me what you think. Tell me what your grievances are. Tell me, have you declared independence? Are you doing your thing? Are you living the life that you want to live? It's amazing how in 1783, when the American Revolution War was finally over, how the mindset of the people as a whole was now totally different. We are free from the tyranny that was put upon us, We are free to choose our own direction. We are free to make laws. We are free to do things the way we want to do them. We're free to go about business in the way that we want to do. And so I would encourage you to continue to listen to this show. Listen to entrepreneurs that I bring on every week. Listen to their stories. That's the reason I do the show, because I want people to see what's possible. I want people to see individuals who are just like them, who have done the deed that they've thought about doing for years. There's bound to be someone just like you that I talk to. So listen into the show. Listen into the people that are coming on and telling their stories about the things that they've gone through to achieve the success that they have achieved. Like I said, these people are from all walks of life. They're just like you, but they made a decision. They made a declaration. They decided they weren't going to take it anymore. And so as you celebrate Independence Day, as you do your thing, as you enjoy your holiday, think about yourself for once. Don't just enjoy it as a day off, whether you get off Friday the 3rd or Monday the 7th, 6th. Think about what it means for you. Think about what it means for your life. It's always a pleasure coming to talk to you. It's always a pleasure. And if you want further audios, if you want further videos, if you want to book me to speak at your next engagement, go to DinoHerbert.com and do that. And like I said, we're going to be having a teleseminar in a few weeks. Sign up for that. Give me your information so that you can be involved in finding out how you can do what you want to do. And remember that I am passionate. Have a great day.